Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Life of Jesus. People in the Old Testament were saved by faith and repentance, but there were also false prophets who hindered people from finding the way to heaven. Examining a person's fruit was one of the ways Jesus said we could discern truth from lies. Just because a person claims to be a Christian doesn't mean they are born again. Salvation is predicated upon repentance, with Jesus Christ as its foundation, but the Jewish leadership worked to ensure that the people would reject the Messiah and also hindered the gospel from being preached. The devil has successfully used an assortment of vices to entice humanity since the time of Adam, and this is why only a fraction of the world's population is saved. This message is entitled, Narrow is the Way. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be talking about today, narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for anointing me to preach this message. I pray, Father God, right now that I will be precise. I read the scripture slow. And that, Father God, let your anointing come through me, Lord, that there will not be I will speaking, but you would use my voice and my body today to bring the message that you want to out. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, when I heard last night that 20 people plus had died in El Paso, Texas. This morning, I heard that an additional 9 people have died in Ohio. 3 people died last week in Gilroy. It's tragic. I heard the commentators say, this morning they were alive, tonight they're dead. But there's a greater tragedy, because every one of you watching me, everyone living on this earth, give it 100 years from now, all of us will be dead. 100 years from now, everyone living right now, we will be gone. 95% of the people that fought in World War II are gone. They left the world. Where do you go when you die? When your body drops, where do you go? The Bible says you either go to heaven or you go to hell. 2 places. And I think it's a great tragedy that every day in our city here, in the greater Sacramento area, wherever you live, every day the morgues are working 24/7. In the world today, roughly between 300,000 and 400,000 people would die natural death, or to say it was sick and whatever it is. Which a lot of people dying every day. Every day the morgues are full. And they know we process them today. There's another batch coming in tomorrow. Another batch. And people don't take Saturday and Sunday off. They die on Saturday, they die on Sunday. 7 days a week. 52 weeks a year. Where do they go? Do they go to heaven or hell? During the Old Testament times, people were saved by repenting of their sins and believing in the future Messiah. And I want to read here from Romans chapter 4, a few verses down here. What should we say then to Abraham our father as pertains to the flesh as found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he were of the glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, He was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that works is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So in the Old Testament, from the time of Adam and Eve, and all the way down, there was a message. There's a Redeemer coming, a Messiah. He will pay for the sins. If you believe in that, you repent of your sins, then you were saved. In Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And we read a few verses here. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet with his esteem is stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is a description of Jesus, written about 700 years before Christ. And today we're looking back to what Jesus did on Calvary. I want you to turn now to Matthew chapter 7, as we are looking upon the life of Jesus, and how he set up his church, and how he's dealing with you and me today. And we're going to read from verses 13 to 14. Enter you in at the straight gate. And straight here is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. It means small, narrow. Enter you into the small, narrow gate. Not a big one. For wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight or narrow is a gate, narrow is a way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. I want to dissect these two verses. Now, Jesus is the Creator. He's the Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came down to earth now. And he rules everything. And he simply said this now. I'm going to set up a road to salvation. But very few people are going to find it. Now, thinking from my human viewpoint, if I wanted to set up a plan to save people, I want to make sure that people got saved. I want to make sure there would be no hindrances. I want to move to heaven and earth to make sure that everybody gets saved. But there's a catch. And don't you get it now? God does not want anyone in heaven who doesn't want to go there. God does not want anyone in heaven unless that person wants to come to heaven. He's not going to bring in a whole bunch of people and they're coming up into heaven and say, well, we really want to be here. You know, we don't like it here. God does not want to create the same mess as Lucifer did when he rebelled. He doesn't want the same rebellion that we have on earth right now. And that's why the road is narrow and the gate is small. Because Jesus is offering a free salvation, but you had to receive it. At the same time, we have an opposition. We have the devil, his fallen angels, and the evil spirits. And they simply said, well, we can't go to heaven. We don't want anyone else to go to heaven. So they are doing everything they can to hinder you from being saved. And if you do get saved, they try to do everything they can to destroy your testimony. And they will just try to destroy your marriage. They will destroy your work. They will destroy everything you do. They will try to create hell all the time to keep you preoccupied over here, just picking up your pieces so you cannot function properly. I want you to think about now. Prior to the flood, we had the preaching of Enoch. We had the written record that was given to Adam. And God waited for 1,600 some odd years before the flood came. Using a calculation based upon what the Bible shows about people, at the time of the flood, there were about 600 million people on the earth. 600 million people. The United States has a population of about 350,000 million. So it'd be about double the size of America. Double its size. Out of the amount of people, 600 million, 8 got saved. 8 people. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, their wives. Everybody else perished. Was that God's perfect will? No. But the people had a choice. And they simply choose the devil. I'm going to shoot at a bonus scripture here. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to pick it up here in verse number 7. This is now 1,000 years. Devil has been bound. Jesus reigning out of Jerusalem. The church, you and I have been here on earth, ruling the people. The people have seen Jesus. They have full employment, no sickness, healing for everybody. Climate is perfect. Everything is wonderful. 1,000 years of a perfect time. And listen now. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. After 1,000 years, the devil shows up and says, I am the angel of light. I got a better plan. Yes, you had full unemployment. You had no sickness. You had this and that. But folks, you had to obey that Jesus. You had to worship him. If you follow me, I will give you freedom. You can do whatever you want to do. And the majority of the people born and lived through the 1,000 years would say, Jesus, forget it. Lucifer is a better deal. And it will be the final deception. And once they make that choice, fire comes from heaven. And they all end up in hell. Eternally lost forever. Did you realize that you are a privileged person? You have been saved by grace. out of 7 billion people, however they are living on earth, you have been saved and have eternal life. The majority of people living today are going to die in their sins. They're going to hell and lay in the lake of fire. Sad. Can we do something about it? I've been preaching the gospel for close to 50 years because I am trying to do my best to bring as many people as I can to heaven. Let's go back to Matthew 7:13 again. Enter you in at the straight gate, or the small gate, for wide is a gate, and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight or small is a gate, and narrow is a way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. There's going to be false prophets. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You take the Mormons. They love to go and deceive Christians. The same with Jehovah's Witnesses. Some of the other cults. False prophets. We have a person that works with us here in construction from time to time. He's a Mormon. And both my brother and I have witnessed to him. And I told him one time, Joseph Smith was a squanderer. Brigham Young was a crook, a womanizer. He was a murderer. Two men that have no reputation whatsoever except bad reputation. And you are basing your eternity on two squadrons. How smart are you? He couldn't answer. But you see, it's about the fourth generation Mormon. Demons are strong. Hold him. My dad's Mormon. Grandpa's a Mormon. Great-grandfather. The deception is very strong. I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read the following. This know also that in the last day perilous times should come. That means dangerous times. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, liars, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There's going to be a deception. There's going to be incredible. And we are living in it right now. The deception is incredible. Now, I have flown from Europe to California many times. I have gone up in the air 30,000 feet. I've seen the curvature of the water. We got satellites. Some people say, I want you to hear me right now. There is such a deception, and people like to find out, oh, the craziest it is, the more I believe it. We got satellites. People say, oh, satellites, that's a joke. That's a hoax. There are no satellites. Really? Tell me that. When I came to this country in 1963, it cost me $100 for about 4 minutes telephone call to my parents in Sweden. The reason why, Because in the 1800s, they laid out cables, thick cables, that goes all the way from the East Coast, right across the ocean, go into England, cables where the telephone would go. Cost a lot of money. Today, I can call, I can talk for maybe a dollar. I can talk for about half an hour for a dollar. Because we don't use the cables anymore. Satellites, boom, boom, down. People say, well, satellites do not exist. I got Skype. I'm Skyping people in South America. I'm talking to people on Skype in Europe. On the internet. That exists. I'm talking. Satellites do exist. Yet, there are Christians that believe that the earth is flat. But it doesn't matter if the earth is flat as far as salvation goes. If you think the earth is flat, that just applies to your salvation. But what it does, it's a distraction. It destroys a lot of things. Now, you believe that, then you begin to utter deception, another deception, until finally you are so full of deception that nothing works. And you know what people do then? They throw their hands up and say, I'm confused. Everything is a hoax. I'm going to take a blanket, put it on my head, and just lay here until Jesus comes. We got to learn that there are people that are out there to deceive you. Just like when you get a phone call. And this is, but it's a terrorist. He's picked on all the time. And you got a phone call one time from a guy that said, I'm from the IRS. And you have not filed your report right. And we want $5,000 today. You got to give us $5,000 today. Or we're going to come and arrest you. But luckily he called me. I said, Brother Satiris, relax. That's not the IRS. That's a hoax. There's somebody trying to take you for a ride. So there's going to be a lot of deception. Let me go back here to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So Jesus warned of them. Narrow is the way. The gate is small. False prophets are going to come. And there's going to be destruction. Let's go back to Matthew 7 now. And I'm going to pick it up in verse number 16. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. We need to be fruit inspectors. We need to be fruit inspectors. I want to talk about one guy today, Joel Osteen. Now, Joel Osteen has a lot of people, millions of people following him. And they send him money to him and so on. And he has a nice message every week, and so on. But what kind of fruit do you find? Does he talk about the cross? Does he talk about the blood of Jesus? Does he talk about heaven or hell? Does he talk about the need to get saved? Does he talk about, unless you're born again, you're going to go to hell? Those words and teaching is not in his vocabulary. And he made a statement one time in an interview that he said this, I don't want to offend people. I just want to encourage people. Well, if you encourage people and they die in their sins, what have you done? You simply help them to go to hell. Encouraging people does not save anyone. You got to tell people you need to be saved. We should encourage people after they are saved. But just encouraging is not saving anyone. Joel Osteen is not the only one. There's a whole bunch of others. And there's another one, Bob George. And Bob George, I don't know if he's alive not today or not, but he shot up like a rocket in the 70s and 80s, and he had a new message. You don't need to repent anymore. You ask God for forgiveness one time, and after that, you never ask God to forgive you again. And he destroyed a lot of people. Another false prophet. So we need to have discernment. In verse 21 through 23, we read this. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. These people were never saved. They were never born again. Jesus never knew them. This scripture passage cannot be used to say, well, you lose your salvation. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I never knew them. They were never saved. Period. And then I will profess it to them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I want you to picture Jesus sitting on the mountain of Olives, where he was, and preaching a sermon. He looked down in time as he spoke. And he knew, he could see down through the ages. And his disciples said, you know, it's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be bad. Now, if you turn to John chapter 3, and this is familiar verses here. Jesus laid it out. And he said this, in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Jesus now simply said, this is the way it's going to be like. From time to time, my wife and I invite people, not so much now, but in time in the past, we invite people for a dinner or for fellowship into our house. Now, when I invite people to come and eat with us, I don't want to have nasty people. I'm going to invite people that I like. I'm going to invite people that are nice. So, when I have a dinner, I'm not just going to open a door, put a sign on the road and say, we're serving free dinner up here today. Because I don't want some bums to come in. I don't want some nasty people. I want nice people to come in. And that's the way it is to heaven. Jesus said, whosoever can come. But you got to come on my terms. Bonus scripture, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The Roman Catholic Church does not save you. The Protestant Church does not save you. The Baptist Church doesn't save you. The Pentecostal Church doesn't save you. Jesus saves you when you repent and you are born again. But you've got to come through Jesus. How does a person get to be born again? And everybody here in the chapel are born again, so this is a repeat, but I'm going to do this because we have people watching us that are not born again. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 37, we read this. Peter preaching in Jerusalem, big crowd of people. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, convicted, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were not saved. Then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Chapter 3, verse number 19. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. So we have here two places here now to repent, which means you ask God for forgiveness of your sins. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. If you read here from verse number 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is richer to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it take to be saved? First of all, you got to have knowledge. Remember this, if you do not know that something exists, you're not going to look for it. So you got to know that you need to be saved. Somebody needs to tell you there is a heaven and a hell. What does that do? That creates a need. I'm not going to buy something unless I need it. I got some cockroaches. We got cockroaches in the house from time to time. And I had a need. And I realized killing a cockroach one by one is not very effective. And I was thinking there got to be a better way. So I went to the nearest Ace Hardware store. And I said, what do you have to wipe out cockroaches? Oh, they said we got the perfect thing for it. We got a roach motel. I said, you got a roach motel? Yeah. Show me. So they show me this little box. Opening at both ends. Empty inside. And the salesman said this. The cockroach will go in there. He would check into the motel, but he would never check out. Really? There's nothing in there? No. It was just a blank, you know, surface, whatever it kind of was. I said, well, I'll try one of those. So I put a roach motel on our kitchen floor behind the garbage can, where they usually hang out. And so the next morning, I got up, moved the garbage can, picked up the roach motel. There were 10 creatures in there. And they were all just sitting there. They couldn't walk. Their antennas were going like this. I said, well, I got some guests. They came to my roach motel. So now, I will send them out to another place. So I don't have to spray. I just put down my roach motel to a different place of the house. And the roaches just march in there and check in. But they never check out. If you don't know that when you die, you're going to go to hell, you don't have a need. So you're just happy going through life. So as Christians, we got to tell people there is a need. When you die, there's a hell. It's a heaven. We create that need. And when we do that, then people can make up their mind. Now, you see, the person is going to have to say, okay, yes, I know I'm going to die. There's life after death. And you said it's a heaven and hell. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. You show them the Bible. They're going to make up their minds now. Do I want to go to heaven? I don't like to sing. I don't like to pray. I like to party. I like to drink. Do they do that in heaven? No. I don't think I'm going to go to heaven. I had people say this to me. Look, buddy, I'm going to go to hell. That's okay. All my buddies will be down there. We're going to party for a long time in hell. That's an illusion. In hell, you're shackled to a post with a flame on you. After hell is over, at the great white throne judgment, you're going to go to the lake of fire. No party, just pain for eternity. So we need to create a need. So we're saved by grace. You tell people this. It doesn't cost you anything. So we have Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not a work that any man should boast. I met many people that said, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. When I'm dead, I'm dead. You know, take your garbage and go. Don't give it to me. I mean, people don't want to go to heaven. And Jesus said, if you don't want to go to heaven, I don't want you. Just do what you want to do, and I'll put you away in hell and later in the lake of fire. You have a choice now, but once you die, there's no more choice. Choice is over. Right now you can choose to be with me, or you can choose not to be with me. In 1 Corinthians, we read this from chapter 3, and I'm just going to set a little example down here. We read this. Verse 11, for out of foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. So when you go out and witness to people, you simply tell them this. There is a heaven and a hell. When you die, you're going to have to go to either one of the places. To go to heaven, to go to hell, all you have to do is nothing. If you want to go to hell, automatically you will go there. All you have to do is just keep living, and you will go to hell. Guaranteed. Says so in the Bible. But if you want to go to heaven, there's a couple of things you have to do. You have to believe that there's a God. You have to believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to pay for our sins, who died on the cross, rose on the third day. And if you ask God to forgive your sins, you believe in Jesus, you ask Jesus to come in to save you, and to wash you with his blood, then you will be born again. That's how simple it is. And people says, well, you know, that is too simple. Too simple. The gospel is very simple. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. And I'm on page 2 now, my outline. We're going to talk about lying to people. And we're going to go to verse number 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourself, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land, make one proselyte, that means a disciple. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you yourselves. The Jewish leadership, Judaism, the high priest, the scribes, Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, they all said this. Stay away from Jesus. Don't go close to Jesus. We don't want him. We don't want to go there. And we don't want you to go there. And the Jewish leadership 2,000 years ago did the best they could to hinder Jewish people from getting saved. And the rabbis today are doing exactly the same thing. They want to make sure that every Jew go to hell and do not believe in Jesus. That's the program today. Jesus knew it. He said it. So Satan simply got a hold of Judaism. He took them over before Jesus came with the Talmud, the Kabbalah, and the Jewish rabbis today. Do I hate Jews? No. I just feel sorry for them. But their leaders are saying they have nothing to do with Jesus. If you are Jewish and you get saved, you get kicked out of the synagogue. People don't want to talk to you anymore. They're just like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses. If you leave their group and you go with Jesus, you are shunned. Now, after the resurrection, the Jewish leadership used their power again to hinder the gospel being preached. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Can you imagine now all these Jewish people for the time of Christ and after today they have died? They followed their rabbis. They believed in their rabbis. And you know what the rabbis are today? They're in hell. All the congregation in hell. And the Jewish members or the people in hell are screaming and cursing their rabbis and saying, "You stupid jerks! We are here because you lied to us." Joseph Smith is in hell. So is Russell. Charles Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witness. All these false teachers in hell. And they're not doing good down there. Because all their followers have died. They are spitting cursing at them and hurling insults at them daily and saying, "You rotten, stinking, no good bums." But you see, on earth, there's a deception. And people believe in deception. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 1. "And they, Peter and John, spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. Being grieved, they taught the people and preached for Jesus the resurrection from the dead." What was their crime? They were talking about Jesus. "And they laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. The number of men was about 5,000 people." 5,000 men accepted Christ. The leadership, Jewish leadership, now they're going, "Oh, we can't have this." Just like you have in China today. The Chinese communist says, you know, "We can't have Christianity grow." This nice looking guy, Ching or Cheng or whatever his name is, who's a dictator over there, smiles, nice suit. He hates Christ. He orders, persecute the Christians. We got to wipe them out. "And it came to pass on the morning that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John Alexander and as many as were the kin of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." 2,000 years ago, they were in Jerusalem. Today, they are in hell. All sitting down there and saying, "You know, we were a bunch of stupid jerks. How stupid were we? The Son of God was there. And we persecuted him. And we hindered everybody else from getting saved." "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, being known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which had become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they, the Jewish leadership, saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, uneducated, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, the world is going to take notice of you. There's a move right now in the United States to remove all crosses. They don't want crosses for the cemeteries. They want the crosses for the military. They don't want any crosses. They want any mention of Jesus. There's a new vocabulary now. And to be politically correct, you have to speak the right vocabulary. And the latest I heard is this. You can no longer refer to a brother as a brother or a sister as a sister. No, no, no. These words cannot be spoken anymore in America, according to the socialist democratic idiots. I shouldn't call them idiots. You got to call them siblings. My sibling. That is gender free. You got to be gender free. You cannot call a boy and a girl. You got to call them a person. Same old stuff. Same old devil. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But it is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. Can you imagine now these people in hell? They saw the healed man. They knew it was a miracle. And they say, we're going to threaten them and beat them because we don't want them to teach anymore in the name of Jesus. That's a deception that is on people. That's when you find the Democrats foaming at the mouth when you talk about Jesus, salvation. We should not do abortions. When we talk about biblical things, they foam at the mouth and say, you know, they scream in anger because they're filled with demons, the same evil spirit that we hear of with people today. Let me just read it very quickly to you here. The Jews simply said, the leadership, you can't have Jesus. And when they called him and commanded him to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the thing which are seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because all the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. After the Jewish leadership came the Roman Catholic Church. From 325 for the next 1600 years to this day, the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest roadblock to heaven on earth today. The Catholic Church teaches this. You're saved through the church, not through Jesus. Jesus died for the church, and the church saves you. You got to be baptized by sprinkling. You got to go through confirmation. You got to go to confession. You got to have communion, the last rites. You do all that thing, and you go to heaven. And every Catholic that believes that ends up in hell, where they meet their priest eventually. And the popes over the years. The same can be said for the Greek Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, the Anglican Church, the Lutheran Churches, the Methodist and the Presbyterian Churches. None of them today talk about being born again. It's all church. When Islam came on the scene in 622 AD, Its fanatic wiped out Christians in Persia, Iraq, and in all North Africa. Did you know that Persia, which is today Iraq and Iran, were strong Christian strongholds? And the only way that Satan could wipe it out was they came in and they killed them and destroyed them. North Africa, from Egypt, we had Libya, we had Tunisia, we had Morocco, Algeria, all of North Africa were all Christians. The Christian church in North Africa in the second century was stronger than any other church. They were preaching the gospel. The Muslim came, wiped out North Africa, Egypt, into Africa. False religions like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Swedenborgianism. Some of you might not ever heard about Swedenborgianism, but that's a Swede that was stupid. He came to San Francisco and started a church there. It's a spiritist church, a weird church, but people are believing it. They join. They want to go to hell, so they join that church. They have them in other places. Christian Science, Scientologist, Hinduism, Unitarian, Universalism, Buddhism, name them all. All these religions are created by Satan, for Satan, to make sure that he fills hell to the brim. And I believe, this is my personal belief, that Satan thinks if he can stack hell so full, God will change his mind and have another plan for Satan and for the people in hell. But there is not a plan. It's an illusion for him. Humanism embraces the atheistic belief about the non-existence of God and tries to create ethical systems that are based upon reason logic while denying there is a moral lawgiver. Jesus foresaw all of this, and he simply said, narrow is the way. The gate is very, very small. Very quickly now turn to Genesis chapter 9. There's one drug that has done more destruction than any other drug on this earth. That's alcohol. And in Genesis 9, 20 through 21, I want you to say this now. 600 million people wiped out. Noah and his sons and their wives come out of the ark, staggering around. Man, there's no people here. They all died. Here comes Satan now. Hey, Noah, why don't you plant yourself a vineyard? Make some booze. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank out of wine and was drunken. He was uncovered within his tent. The first thing that Satan introduced after the flood was alcohol. Alcohol has been used by all different religions, except the Muslims. Now, the Muslims cannot drink alcohol here, but they tell them when you get to heaven, you can drink as much as you want. But you drink it here, to the bootlegging. In Proverbs chapter 23, we read the following. Verse number 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not you upon a wine with red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women, and your heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, you shall be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall you say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I fed not. When shall I wake? I will seek it again. That's the truth. People keep drinking and drinking, again and again, destructive, and they don't understand it. Satan simply said this, I'm going to plaster the world with immorality. I don't want them to come to Jesus. I'm going to make them so wicked that they will not even think about Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you pick it up, verse number 7. Neither be you idolaters, as with some of them, as you've written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let them commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let them tempt Christ, as some of them were tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them murmured, were destroyed. A destroyer. When I came to the United States in 1963, we bought a black and white television set. In a town we lived in Salt Lake City at that time, Utah, we had 5 channels. In Sweden, we had 1 state channel. We got to Salt Lake City and said, wow, we got 5 TV stations. I can make a choice. Today, you have 700, 800 different television stations, channels. There are so many television channels today that you will not have time in your lifetime to watch each channel. You got videos. You got pornography. You got gambling. You got everything. People are tied up. They tied up in this. They tied up in that. And they think only about what they are doing. People are strange. On their days off, they do their hobbies. It can be boating. It can be skiing. It can be whatever they are doing. There is always something for everybody to be busy with. To keep you away from thinking that you're going to die someday. Immorality. Cities like Las Vegas, Monte Carlo, and others, New Orleans, Las Vegas, created by a mob. They fly people in there. Probably about 10 million people every year flown into Las Vegas. And what do they have there? Whorehouses, gambling places. You can take dope. You can do all kind of things. Debauchery. They take your money and you go back home. Everyone is into some type of immorality. Let me finish here with Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to ask this question. Were you building your house? The people in the chapel here, they're all saved. Probably most of you that are watching me are saved because very few unbelievers will tune us in unless you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. The question is now, what kind of house have you built? Have you built a house on the foundation of Christ, or are you building on the sand, on nothing? When you're young, you don't think about death. Yet young people can die in a car accident. People are dying by different things. But I can guarantee you this. By the time you hit 60 to 70, you are realizing that most of your life is behind you. You might live to 120 if you do it everything right. But when you hit 60 or 70, you notice most of my life is behind me. And you begin to think about death. And that's when people begin to think, what did I do with my life? If you came to Christ at an early age, you can look back and say, well, I walked with Jesus all these years. I put my time into the kingdom of God. I'm in good shape. If you were a Christian, but you lived like hell and partied greatly, and you were backslidden, you have no rewards to look forward to. And you look forward to the judgment seat of Christ, where you're going to be judged. You make heaven. But when you come up to heaven, you be a rag Christian. You get the rag, your job, polish the streets, the golden streets for eternity. That's better than being hell or like a fire. But I like more. I didn't have a lot on this earth. I don't like to live that much in eternity. I want to have a nice life. Jesus said we can have abundant life. So what about if you have blown it and you really haven't lived the way you should? What's your best option? Your best option is repent right now. Simply say, God, I am sorry. I lived a selfish life. I've done everything I should not have done. And I want you to forgive me. I know I'm older now. I don't know how many years I got left. But I ask you, Lord, wash me in the blood. Wash everything out. And let me from this day on walk with you in spirit and in truth. And to be used by you to further your kingdom. That's better than to do nothing. And you can do more in a short time than people have been sitting in a church warming pews for years. If you apply yourself and you get busy and let the Holy Spirit use you, you can do a whole lot. Amen. So again, here's what I want you to take home with you. As Christians, I'm talking about to you that are Christians, walk with the Lord. We need to say, God, I need to be sensitized. People are dying around me. They don't have Jesus. I need to be able to start witnessing. I need to start calling pastors. I need to start talking to people in my city, wherever you live, and wake them up. I need to do something. I need to start handing out tracts. I need to do something. If I can have you get active, something good is going to happen. It's up to you. You can do two things today. You can simply, when we're done, turn it off and go back and do what you have done every day of your life. Same old, same old. Or you can say, no, today I change. You're not saved. And you want to get saved, you're watching us. Ask God to forgive your sins. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. He rose on the third day. And he paid for your sins. Then ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. And he will. When we finish here in the chapel, the screen will change. And you will see three crosses coming up. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell, and he will say, my friend. And then he will share with you how to get saved. Read some scriptures. He will pray with you to have you pray with him. Do that today. Be born again and have a seat in heaven. That's my desire, to see you saved. I done what I could. I preached my heart out. I share with you. Now, it's up to you and the Holy Spirit to either take action or for you to go back to sleep. Brother Thomas, you come and pray for them.
Father God, thank you for the message today. And we know this, it does take action. And if anything is going to be done, it has to be, action has to be put to it. Energy has to be put to it. So we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that people took time to tune into it today and down the road. Also, this is being recorded. There's action applied to that. And that there will be some turning points made. And we lift up the United States of America to you. We are at crossroads. And the bottom line for the United States and for any country, any nation on the planet is, will they live righteously or unrighteously? So we see corruption throughout our whole system. And it goes back to righteousness or unrighteousness. We thank you for your blessing upon those that did do the right thing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 12th part in the series, The Life of Jesus, and was entitled, Narrow is the Way. People in the Old Testament were not saved by sacrifices they offered to the Lord, but by their faith in God, belief in the coming Messiah, and repentance from sin. There were also false prophets that spread lies among the Israelites. It is ironic that the majority of God's chosen people were moral failures and died in their sins. Fast forward in time. Jesus said that we could discern the truth by examining a person's fruit. Just because a person claims to be a Christian doesn't mean they are born again, and the apostles laid out the steps of salvation. Meanwhile, the Jewish leadership worked to ensure that the people would reject Jesus and also hindered the gospel message after His resurrection. Even today, only a fraction of the world's population is saved, and this is why Jesus said the road to salvation is narrow. The devil has successfully used an assortment of vices to entice and convince humanity that immorality is good and normal. The educational system, mainstream media, and renegade churches all would have you believe that sin is a normal way to live, and anyone walking closely with Jesus is considered hateful and intolerant. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1715. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.